It is good to be strong, but we are all very mutable. We keep changing with age, with times, with circumstances, and with people in our lives. And therefore, the second message concerning call to be strong in Jesus Christ is, will your strength last? Maintaining strength, regardless of the external circumstances, whether you are physically slowing down or weakened, whether there are circumstances beyond your control that may challenge your strength, you have to be strong regardless. There are circumstances that you can control, you must control. The circumstances that you cannot control, you're going to confront them and face them as is. This is the reality. It is easier to control what we can control, and that would be ourselves, my tongue, my thinking, my life, my behavior. But when others try their utmost to weaken you, to do their best to slow you down, and they can come in many different ways depending on who you are. Some of us are very stubborn and we become more firm in the face of threats and persecution. So the devil will try that, and the devil will find out, hey, this particular Christian, when I use persecution and threat, it makes him stronger. So I must change my approach. That is the hard approach. It doesn't work on him. And now I'm going to change it to the soft approach. Now let's see whether it will work better in weakening him, in his devotion, in his strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gentle approach, by kindness, by all kinds of beautiful things in his life to seduce him, to lure him away in any way and every way possible, not things that are on its own wrong. He is mature enough to be able to distinguish that which is wrong and bad. He will stay away from it. And so the devil will say, let me use those that are lawful, those things that are not wrong in itself, but can still dominate and control his heart and his time. When his heart and his time are controlled by these lawful things, he may think that it is okay for me to indulge in them. And when I do that, he might think, God must be okay with me, not realizing that he will be sacrificed other things in his life that are primarily more beneficial to him spiritually. He gets distracted. In some of our Bible studies, we have people who have been attending very faithfully until they become grandparent, because many of them are retired or they do not work. They are housewives. The children are now grown up. They are more out of the home than at home, and therefore they have more time in their hands. And so they have been attending Bible studies very frequently and regularly until they become grandparents. And when they become grandparents, it is a new feeling and emotions that they never had before. Little by little, they become more and more enamored with their grandchildren to the point where they would rather spend more time with them. Anything wrong? No. And so they skip for the first time the Bible study that they had been attending for the past more than 10 years. First time is usually most challenging and most difficult. And then you feel a little bad for skipping the Bible study to look after the grandchild. But then you argue and reason with yourself, it's okay, it's only one time. And then the second time, the third time, the fifth time, the tenth time, it becomes easier to skip. And before you know it, they stop attending completely. And so the fellowship that they used to enjoy with people of their own age where they can provoke one another to love and to good works, gone. Their own spiritual well-being in the study of God's word, gone. But it's okay. There are other substitutes. Instead of attending, I have two or three more. It's okay. Not realizing. That's how the devil works, isn't it? Diminishing our spiritual life. It's not going to be a major fall from top to bottom. A slow decline. And before you know it, you reach bottom. Because to fall from top to bottom, it's too painful. You'll wake up, no, I must go back to the top. But when it is a slow, gentle decline, you don't feel any pain, you don't feel any hurt. Just like cooking a frog, that is life. Put it in room temperature water, the frog feels very comfortable. Slowly increase the flame. Little by little, the body will adjust and adjust and adjust until the frog is cooked. The devil will try any way and every way to weaken us. Your salvation is secure. He knows that. He will never be foolish enough to try to take your name out of the book of life, which he does not have any control over. That is sealed for eternity. But he knows what he can take away from us, and that is the strength that we can have in the grace of Christ. And when we are no longer strong, the people who depend upon our strength will fall and will suffer. He knows that. You and I need to know what will weaken our strength. And so what we see from verse 8 and verse 9 is to be strong in bondage. Paul was in prison. His days of freedom to do mission work, gone for good. He enjoyed first missionary trip, second missionary trip, third missionary trip, but there was no fourth missionary trip. And so the devil will incarcerate you, hinder you by your physical incarceration. That is the easiest. He can incarcerate you mentally, emotionally, because that's beyond his control. He can't touch that. If you're strong in your mind, you're strong in your EQ and your mental strength and your spiritual strength, he can't touch that. But the physical, he can. And he thought that if I were to weaken and limit this person's physical well-being, his mobility, then maybe he will weaken too. But you must not let that happen. In order to do that, you have to remember that you are first and foremost called not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for Jesus' sake. And in order for you to face any and every kind of suffering, you must surrender your all to the Lord by denying yourself, that you don't exist. You don't exist, you don't protect your name anymore, you just simply do everything that Christ wants you to do with your life. You have no more your own personal agenda, no personal ambition. All these have to die before you begin to follow Christ, before you take the first step of experiencing the grace of salvation in Christ. Otherwise, the devil is going to have the upper hand. It's only a matter of time. As long as we do not maintain this life of self-denial, you're going to be a victim, a casualty of the evil one. Because he will never stop. And he knows that if he succeeds in devastating our holy witness that we spend an entire lifetime of many decades building and building and building, it can all come crashing down right at the very end. And if he succeeds, and we let that happen, we can't blame anyone but ourselves. The devil can only seduce. The devil can only tempt. He cannot force us to succumb. That's why we begin with the introduction that whatever you can control, you must control. You don't have to succumb to anyone or anything. You can be a godly parent as a godly and a godly grandparent if you take the necessary concrete step to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a godly grandparent. By all means, help and spend time with the grandchildren, just as important as you spending time with your children, because all areas of your life must glorify God. But you've got to find the balance. In the case of the Apostle Paul, without a family, his freedom was everything to him. He was not encumbered with married life, no children to look after other than the spiritual children. And so what did he have? What did the devil have to do to slow him down? Physical incarceration. In our context, our family can slow us down, can weaken us. You and I have tasted it. You and I have seen it. And you and I have to be prepared for it, that it will not happen to us, maybe again. Because the one that we love the dearest on earth will be the one that will challenge your devotion and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind will be challenged by the one that you love the most on earth. That is not God, that is not Christ. Not anyone else that you love at different level, lower level. Acquaintance, best friend, family. Nothing wrong with loving them. But it can weaken us and jeopardize our strength in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy, don't you forget what Jesus Christ did. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, emphasizing his humanity, his sacrifice, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul was very certain that the gospel that he believed in Christ, that saved him, that was the gospel that he preached everywhere he went, to distinguish the many false gospels that may have been spreading in the last days, as you can see in the epistle of John. Gnosticism had already started. That's why he says, test every spirit. Gnostics believed in Jesus Christ as well, but they did not believe that Jesus Christ came in flesh and blood, because their doctrine believes that flesh and blood was inherently evil. And so if Jesus Christ had taken flesh and blood, then Jesus Christ would be evil. And if Jesus Christ did not take on flesh and blood, then who died on the cross? You see the problem? But they go around saying that they believe in Jesus Christ as well. That's why the Apostle John said to his readers, test every spirit, ask them that key question. And in our context, 2,000 years after the founding of the church, you know the false gospels are more dangerous today than at any time in church history because of the internet, because of its spread globally. That is the reason why you and I experience grace at all. What Jesus Christ did and how he overcame death for us, so much so that you must not be afraid of anything, not even death. Because the moment you fear death, the moment you fear the loss of anyone or anything in your life, that will be your weakness that the devil will take advantage of, that will weaken your stance, your steadfastness in Christ. And you will compromise. But you must not. You must make sure that you remember what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary all your life. He gave up everything for you and for me. Is it too much for Jesus to ask that we give up everything for him and everyone as well for Jesus' sake? You think he did not want to spend time with his beloved spiritual children like Timothy and Titus and Luke and others? He has feelings too. Just like if you stand up for Christ, you go to jail, you might die in jail. You'll never see your wife, your children, your grandchildren ever again. Can you accept that? Can you? Or will you allow the devil to use them to weaken your stance for the Lord Jesus Christ? Loving them is fine. Spending time with them is fine. Nothing wrong with that. But to what extent? To what extent? Never at the price of your spiritual strength in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the moment that happens, you are useless to your grandchildren, to your family, and to everyone else. Your prayer will never be heard by God because of your sinful condition. The Lord will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. You know that. And when you do something that is lawful and come under the power of it, it's called an addiction. It's called compromise. And when you are in that state and condition of transgression, your worship will not be heard by God, your prayer will not be heard by God, you'll be rendered spiritually useless to everyone. Don't let that happen. That's why the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy. Suddenly he threw in, remember what Jesus Christ did and how he overcame death according to the gospel that you have received from me, Timothy. The gospel according to Scripture. Wherein now I suffer trouble like an evildoer. I'm no longer under house arrest. They now treated all of us like common criminals. That's where they place criminals, right? In dark, dirty, rat-infested, cold dungeon in Rome. Under house arrest, separated from criminal. Fine. But no longer in the last days of his life. For what? For Jesus' sake, for preaching the gospel. But even in bondage, in bonds, the word of God can never be bound. You study that and you read it in the epistle to the Philippians. Many of the Philippian Christians became stronger and more bold in their position and stance with Christ and for Christ because our spiritual father, the Apostle Paul, was prepared to go to prison for Christ and to die for Christ. So must I. So you want to help your children, you want to help all those who are weak to be strong in the Lord, this is what you must be like. You have to maintain your strength by giving your life entirely over to the Lord and trust God to do whatever He wants with your life on earth. That no matter what sacrifice, you have to be prepared to sacrifice it because Christ sacrificed Himself for you. From heaven He came to earth and He suffered and He died for us. You must be prepared to die for the Savior in order to help other believers to be strong in the Lord, to see that you are prepared to go so far for the Lord, so must they. That's why be strong in bondage or in weakness. He was treated like a common criminal. But to believers who understood the truth in his days, it gave them the moral strength and courage to imitate him. That's what you and I must do. And not flinch. Because the moment you compromise, they say, hey, it's okay to compromise. Paul saved his own life and his freedom in following Christ. Oh, I must do the same. You see how important your testimony is to the people around you, and that's what we see in verse 10, isn't it? Be strong for others. They really depend upon us. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. So must we. There are those out there who are not yet born again, but they are chosen by God. And if we are not prepared to die for the gospel, what would they want to believe in such a gospel? Why would they? But you're going to give up Christ when your own freedom and your own life is on the line. Right? Why would they? But when you do it, can you imagine how great a blessing you will be to sinners whom God had chosen, waiting to be born again, waiting to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? And you will be that instrument of holiness that God could use to bring about their conviction and their conversion, that this person is prepared to give up everything in life so as to hold on to the gospel, to give me the gospel. There must be something in the gospel that he's prepared to pay such a high price for. His freedom and his life. There must be something in the gospel, isn't it? Is there something in the gospel in your own life first and foremost, that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have found the pearl of great price. You have found this sweet water that is so delicious that you have no longer any thirst or any hunger for anything that the devil offers you. You have everything now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are going to hold on to it no matter what happened. That must be our heart, our conviction, all the days of our lives in order to maintain our strength and keep our strength stronger and stronger with time. Not just to maintain the strength, be stronger. Will your strength last? That's the title, right? Will your strength last? It has to be stronger and stronger. You know, I was told that as we age, our muscle mass will shrink. And so I see and I watch how aged people, they shrink to skin and bones. And I don't want that to happen, because I know if that happens, I can't serve the Lord effectively. And so I started carrying weights for many years now, since I was in my 40s and 50s. Not those gym weights, those simple dumbbell that I have at my desk when I do my work. Small little corner in our HDB flat. That's my gym, that's my study, everything, all in one place. Wake up in the morning, after my quiet time, I would do my stretching, I would do my push-up. 20, 30, 40, 50. Stretching. And then do my dumbbells, my weights. And then to make sure that as I age, there is some muscle mass for it to shrink so that I won't fall easily. So I do exercise that will help me stand on one leg to balance so that I won't fall. If I fall, I hear about people falling, break their hip, crippled for life, may not even get out of bed. How to serve if that happens? So I do exercise that will help me balance. I won't fall easily. Take every precaution not to fall. Go up the steps. Always put my hand on the railing. Everything. I don't want to fall. I don't want to become rendered useless for the Lord. Take every precaution. Because my family, the church, they depend on my spiritual well-being, my physical well-being. How to minister to all of you if I'm weak and I'm easily tired, after one sermon completely exhausted, one sermon after another with only a few minutes break, and all the sermons are different, all different messages. Like tomorrow, 10:30 is different from the 12 o'clock one, different from the 2 o'clock one, different from the 6 o'clock one, all different. Only with a few hours or a few minutes of break in between. So mentally, I've got to be strong, got to pray and trust in the Lord. Physically, I have to be ready, got to stand up here for an hour and not be exhausted. Mentally, physically. For what? For others. Not for personal gain or glory. Do what I can with what the Lord provides. Take my vitamins, take whatever I need to keep my mind clear and strong and sharp. Keep my physical being strong and healthy to serve the Lord. Because there are others who depend upon you, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. Can you imagine if you're emotionally weak, how are you going to take care of your family? You carry their spiritual well-being on your shoulder and in your heart. You carry the spiritual well-being of your children in your heart, in your mind. And you are weak, they look to you. They come to you. They depend upon you. How are you going to take care of them when you are weak yourself? That's what we tell young people. You want to get involved in an emotional relationship? Fine. How strong and stable are you emotionally? If you can't even handle your own emotion, a little bit of problem here and there, you lose your control, you get angry, you lose your temper. And now when you want to be involved in an emotional relationship, you now have to handle the other person's feelings and emotions as well. Are you able to manage that? If you can't, your relationship is going to be a disaster. And now you're a family, you carry the lives and souls of your family in your hands. And if you are not spiritually strong, you're going to drag a lot of people down with you. All the leaders in the church, you've got to bear that in mind. The elders, the pastor, the deacons, all of us. We have to maintain our spiritual strength, come what may, and make ourselves stronger and stronger with time and with age, because this mind forgets things. This body slows down. We have to not let it slow down too rapidly, too quickly, so that we can keep on serving, keep on taking care of the spiritual well-being that the Lord has entrusted to us. More and more people are coming. More and more people are tuning in onto our website. We wanted to stop this Tuesday night Bible study. You know that we announced it when the government opened the doors back. No longer COVID restrictions. We have emails, people writing in from other churches. Please don't stop. We can't come to your church. We have our own church to attend, but we enjoy your Bible study. Please don't stop. We put aside time every Tuesday evening to study, to listen to the Bible study. Please continue. Talk to the Board of Elders, and we continue. There are a lot of people hungering, there are a lot of people out there. And if we do not take care of our own spiritual well-being, keep ourselves strong in every aspect of our life spiritually, that's the number one. When you're spiritually strong, the rest will fall into place. But you've got to do your part as well to be strong emotionally, mentally, physically, so that you can be a great blessing with your spiritual maturity. Can you imagine how precious you are to God and to the world, to the people of God? That with your counsel, with your wisdom, with your ability to bring spiritual blessing, they go into the world out there, they become casualty, they come back, they encounter you, they become strong again, and they go out there and face the world again. Your family should be like that. They come home, they see in dad, they see in father, someone who is spiritually strong, who gives them the good biblical counsel and advice, that when they go out into the world, they know that daddy will always be there to sustain us, to help us, to hold our hand even when we stumble and fall. The Lord knows that we will stumble and fall. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So those who are elect, salvation grace. Those who are elect, they need to be strong in the faith. You'll be there. But the Lord knows that we are not going to be perfect. We all have our struggle, and so you see from verse 11 to verse 13, you have to be strong with God confidence, not self-confidence. The Lord doesn't expect perfection. The Lord knows us. The Lord knows our weaknesses better than we know ourselves. So will your strength last? Be strong in bondage. Be strong for others. The third point, be strong with confidence. The Lord knows you. You've got to know yourself and accept yourself and become better. Your weakness, you have to strengthen it so that it will no longer be weakness. Your strength, make it stronger. Know yourself. That's what verse 11 to verse 13 tells us. It is a faithful, that means it is a truthful, accurate saying. What is? For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's why surrender your all to the Lord. Die to self, die to your own name. You are not here to protect your name. You are not here to promote your name. You are here to promote Christ, Christ alone. Die to self and you will live with him. Right? Isn't that the first step of our experiencing strength in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's how we started this morning, salvation grace. And then it followed by prayer grace, loving grace, how to love correctly, how to forgive correctly, how to bring blessing correctly. All these will follow after salvation grace. And that begins with dying to self. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. And that will never change. Don't hold back any area of your life. Surrender every aspect of your life to the Lord. No personal gain, no personal ambition. Everything totally give over to the Lord. And then you will truly live in all areas of your life. The Lord's promise, faithful saying, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So don't be afraid of the first point. Be strong in bondage. Don't be afraid. Give up. Hold on to Christ. They threaten you. Never mind. Hold on to your faith and your conviction. They put you in prison. It's okay. They take your life. It's also okay. You will reign with Christ one day. Because to Him, He is really everything to you. That's the only way you can be strong and maintain it and be stronger with time. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. So don't deny Him. Don't be ashamed of Him. Please, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and hold on to Him, even though your children may not understand. They may be angry with you, but you hold on. You don't disobey Christ for any and every other person or reason. If your son, your daughter wants to marry an unbeliever, let them, but you tell them clearly you are not going to be there. You cannot be present to bless them because Christ will not be there to bless you, and I am representing Christ, and I cannot be there to bless you. And since you don't want me to bless you, and I'm not going to curse you too, and therefore the best thing is I'm not going to be there. If I'm going to be there, I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to ruin your marriage. You don't want that. And I cannot be there and bless you and congratulate you too. That will be displeasing to my Savior. And so the best thing is, Dad will not be there. Will you do that? Stand up for Christ. Don't deny Him. For anyone, for anything. Hold on to Him. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. Now that's why it is called be strong with confidence. Have you and I ever denied the Lord? Yes. But we must repent. The Lord knows our weakness. That's why the Lord encouraged us with these final three verses for this morning. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He knows we are going to make mistakes. He knows. So must we. Don't pretend. That's why as pastors, we cannot pretend that you and I, as pastors, leaders, we don't struggle with our quiet time. I struggle with my quiet time like everybody else. I struggle the same struggle as you have. All of us do. The Lord knows that. We may handle it differently because of our different levels of maturity and understanding of God's Word, but we all struggle. We never stop struggling because the moment I stop struggling, I stop praying. And the Lord knows, that's why He commands all of us to pray without ceasing. He did not say, well, pray without ceasing when you are a babe in Christ, and as you mature, you can stop. No. As long as you are serving in this mortal earthen vessel in the devil's world, you never stop praying. You never stop leaning upon me. I will always be there to hold your hand and to help you. No matter how difficult the problem, I have the solution. No matter how minor the problem, I will still care. I will always leave my door open for all my children, if only they would come to me. The Lord knows. That's why we have to serve with confidence. You deny Him, He will deny you. But when you are unfaithful, He remains faithful. He will always keep His word. Always. That's why He is someone that you and I can lean upon. And let Him be your strength. And you will never fall. Even when you stumble, He will be there to pick you up. You know, it's a wonderful thing to study some of the miracles in the Gospels. When Peter was walking on water as he requested the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, come, come. He started walking. Amazing, isn't it? But then he started to take his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and reality sets in. How can a man walk on water and look at the storm, look at all the waves around me? In my past experiences, every time I jump out of the boat or the ship into the Sea of Galilee, I sink. But now suddenly I'm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee with so many meters depth of water below me. I'm walking on top, just like my Savior. The moment he took his eyes off the Savior and saw the storms around him, and then how can a man walk on water, doubt crept in, he started to sink. But the Lord was just next to him. You see, I think the Lord doesn't know that we are going to sink, but the Lord was next to Peter, and he stretched out his hand, and Peter stopped sinking. You think the Lord doesn't know our sinking? You think He expects perfection? Strength is not in perfection. Strength is in our weakness. Not self-confidence, but God-confidence. And because it is God-confidence, we know, the Lord knows, we will waver. There will be some good days, some better days, and some bad days. And when we have bad days, we make mistakes. We're a little lazy. We're a little slothful. And in those moments, the Lord encourages us. You're going to be unfaithful to me, but bear in mind, I will always be faithful to you. But don't you deny me. That means you are ashamed of me. Don't you dare do that. When you deny me, I will deny you. You don't want me to deny you in heaven. That means I do not know you. God will never say that. Christ will never say that to any one of us. If you are truly born again in Christ, you must never be ashamed of Christ. That's why the Bible warns us in Revelation, the fearful will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know what are the fearful ones? Those who deny him. Those who dare not stand up for Christ. That's why those who dare not stand up for the perfect Bible. That's what it means by standing up for Christ. Stand up for the words of Christ. Stand up for the doctrine of Christ. That is not a trivial sin. That is a very serious transgression. I don't want to take sides because both are my friends. What side are you talking about? Friends? You think they are arguing about their own opinion? This is God's word. They are taking side because this is the side of God, this is the side of the devil. You think both are your friends? What kind of question are you asking yourself? What kind of decision do you think you are making? The devil's side or Jesus Christ's side? You have to take side. You think by not choosing you are safe? There are no fence-sitters in heaven. Everyone in heaven, they have taken the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know that. And every time a doctrine is under attack, you have to make sure that you know what you are asking yourself. Seen this, sadly, so many times in leadership within the BP movement before the dissolution of the Synod in 1988. One of the key leaders, the moderator of the Synod at that time, Reverend Kwek Kok Chiang, his son, Reverend Dr. Kwek Swee Hwa, took the side of the new evangelical movement, believing that tongue speaking is acceptable, wanted to compromise rather than practice biblical separation, wanted to promote the modern translations such as the NIV rather than the, hold on to the KJV. Argue and argue and argue to no end. We were students in FEBC, and during those times they had this, what they call the pastoral conference. And so we were invited to attend as students in FEBC as observer. And so we observe two camps. One led by Reverend Toh, the other led by Reverend Kwek Swee Hwa. Two camps, they presented their arguments. And then the final, the moderator, Reverend Kwek Kok Chiang, went up to give the final argument or decision. Never forget what he said. I sat there waiting with bated breath. What he's going to say now? Reverend Toh, he called my best friend, my son. Now I am forced to make a choice between my best friend and my son. What kind of question was that? They're arguing about doctrine. These are not personal agendas, opinions. Biblical separation. Which one is the most faithful, accurate translation of the perfect Bible? KJV or NIV? Tongue speaking of the charismatic. Is it of God or is it not of God? Not is it of Reverend Toh or of Reverend Dr. Kwek Swee Hwa? You ask the wrong question, you're going to come to the wrong conclusion. The question he should have asked is, I am now forced to choose between Christ and the devil. Based upon right and wrong according to the scripture, this is now my choice as the leader of the BP movement of Singapore, as the moderator of the synod. Which he did not do. Weeks later, we all came back without any decision in Malaysia, Tamarind Highlands. Still remember the place and the time. Pastor's conference. Morning, an American speaker. Afternoon, they have all this debate. That was the purpose. And I remember the American speaker spoke on the book Nehemiah. Solution? Dissolve the synod. He picked his son. Stepped down as the moderator. No one took his place. Choom. Synod gone. 1988, October. Wrong question. Not about my best friend and my son. Just like some who left the church. Not two cans, both are my friends. You are a child of God. You are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you not? And therefore, it is your duty to make sure that you choose the side of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no third alternative. It is either Christ or the devil. There is only heaven or hell. What else? Is there another third place that some of us die and go to? No. Be confident in the Lord, not in self, so that you can be strong in the Lord and never deny Him. When you and I are unfaithful, He will remain faithful. He will always keep His word. When we sometimes do not obey His word and do not keep our word, but He knows, we will repent. That's how we become stronger. Through our mistakes, through our faults, through our failures, we must repent and learn from them so that we can be strong in the Lord and make fewer of the same mistakes. So these people who left without making a strong decision, I pray and hope that they will listen. And next time when the doctrine of another doctrine comes under attack, they better not run and flee. They better study God's word and find out which one is the correct and take a stance for the Lord, come what may. You have to do the same for others' sake. People under your care, they depend upon you. And we have seen this. Fathers, derelict, chose the Bible with mistakes. Whole family left. The wife, no choice, right? Follow the husband. And the children also pull out. The children were also tested. Do you want to follow dad who is now on the side of the devil, or do you want to follow Christ? Your choice. But if they ask the question, well, my father or the pastor, of course I choose my father. He's flesh and blood. I got nothing to do with the pastor. Goodbye. Wrong question, wrong conclusion, wrong answer. Done. Right? That is what is at stake. You have to be strong as the men in your family and in the church. The church depends on you. The ministry depends on you if you are involved in any ministry. And your family definitely depends on you. And your confidence has to be in Christ. Not in anyone or anything, not even in the church. In Christ. And you cannot do that if you are not strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you can't recognize who is on the Lord's side. And because you can't recognize who is on the Lord's side, you'll probably pick the wrong side. To be strong is in the battlefield. This is the battleground. Price, the souls of men, women, and children are at stake. And if you and I do not be strong in the Lord, we are going to fail a lot of people, and we are going to fail the Lord Jesus Christ simply because we call ourselves Christians. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, the last days are here, O God. Help us, therefore, to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever we may face in the present and in the future, may we never lose sight of what the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished for us and died for us and rose from the dead for us, that whatever we may face and encounter in this world, may we never fear the devil who has power over our physical well-being, our body, but not our soul, but fear him who has power over both our body and our soul, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the fear of God in our heart, which is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, may that keep all of us strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, for Jesus' sake, and for the people in our lives, for they are sick as well. And may it always be in God confidence and never in self. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and keep us all strong, even unto the day when we see the Lord face to face, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.